Okay, so we started talking about addiction on Sunday, and we're going to keep going with that. No surprise that addiction is one of the easiest ways that we get ourselves in the pit. And the best way to stay out of that pit is to never get in the first place. Easier said than done. But probably most addictions are ones that we create ourselves. Not all, but probably most. This is a great passage just about addiction. 1 Corinthians 6:12. There's some things that are lawful, but what are the two things Paul says? Okay, yeah, it's lawful, but it's still not good because it's not helpful and dominating, enslaving, right? So those two criteria. Some things are just sinful. Addictive things are sinful. You know, illicit drugs, lust, greed, drunkenness, right? I think that there's just all kinds of things we would put in that category. But some things are not sinful in themselves, but are not helpful for the Christian life. And some things are not sinful in themselves, but they can have mastery over us, control us, and make us its slaves. We want to avoid those things. Christ is Lord, nothing else should be. So we kind of started talking about this on Sunday. Some modern things, they're not sinful in themselves, but that can be unhelpful or can control us, that literally become addictive. We talked about screens, and that'll become even more relevant tonight as we talk about dopamine. I think I said this on Sunday, you will hear the word dopamine more times in the next 45 minutes than like your whole life, you know, put together, you know. It's like when you're like financing a house and they say, escrow. You're like, I've never heard that word before. Now all we're talking about is escrow. Okay, so that's tonight. Tonight's lesson is, honestly, the closest thing in this quarter to a science lesson. It has a lot of direct spiritual implications, but this class is unusual in that sense. It's just kind of explaining some of the biology and psychology of addiction. So, talk about screens. Screens can control us and become addictive. Medicine and drugs can, right? Of course, alcohol, caffeine, sugar, we can turn to food, all those things. So we're going to talk about dopamine tonight. Dopamine is a brain chemical. It's the reward response in the brain, kind of the feel-good hormone that's linked to pleasure and satisfaction. If you get hooked on something, you really like something, your brain says, oh, you should get more of that. And so there's kind of a dopamine release that associates this reward. Oh, that was good, right? So more specifically, it's kind of that want hormone that drives you to want that thing that just gave you the pleasure, that just gave you the dopamine hit. It makes something feel rewarding, so you want to keep doing it. This is God-given. This is not poison, certainly in itself. It is God made us to feel good when we accomplish certain things, and that we finish your homework and you teach your kids, hey, you know, a great feeling in this world is a job well done. And they work hard in it, and they get that satisfaction from it, right? So it fuels motivation because, oh, that was good. Oh, I want more of that, right? A sense of pleasure, sense of reward. So it's just a common everyday. We all, you know, if you had no dopamine, you would have no motivation to do much of anything in your life. So there's healthy ways of getting dopamine. This was our big joke from Sunday, like making a basket. And no, I didn't mean by that, like weaving a wicker basket. I meant a basketball shot. So, you know, that's satisfying. And you play golf and it's nothing but frustrating until you start doing a little bit better and it becomes fun. And that's because you're finally like enjoying it and getting satisfaction from playing that sport well enough. So that's how you start to enjoy those kinds of things. Good food, winning, good music, exercise, all those things release dopamine. There's a kind of a trendy thing right now in pop psychology of like, oh, I forget the term for it, but basically it's like they call it a brain hack. If there's an unpleasant task, link it to something you like that's gonna give you dopamine. So I don't like to, you know, do receipts at the end of the workday, but I'm going to start eating chocolate while I work on receipts. And now it's like you're linking those things together and you're kind of teaching your brain, oh, you do want to do this. Or we do this with exercise, right? We listen to music while we do it because that kind of is motivating for us. Achieving a goal, right? Marking something off a to-do list. To-do lists are great. And you write that down, and then every time you finish something, you cross that through and it feels so good. That's that satisfaction, that's that dopamine. You finish something, you complete a task, right? Again, completing an exercise goal. Anticipation, interestingly, the anticipation for the trip, your vacation, gives you just as much dopamine as the trip itself, right? So, you know, we're all gonna look surprises. Well, actually, you'll probably enjoy it more by not getting being a surprise, by planning it out, and the thinking about that is very satisfying, and you like that, and that's just as good as the trip itself. So planning, looking forward to something. There's general health things, right? High protein, certain kinds of food, if you really like the food, sugar, etc. Junk food, you know, dopamine hack. Sleep helps with dopamine. Sunlight helps with dopamine. Pain, this is interesting, pain blocks the release of dopamine. So why does pain really feel so good? Well, partly it's because while you're in pain, nothing is kind of blocking all the enjoyment of things. But then when the pain relief goes down, oh, you know, I feel like I can jump back and do those things. So this is just how God made us, right? Now, we can become addicted to things that give us that dopamine hit, that pleasure response. You can become addicted, especially when it's easy, right? So that's why sports are good for us, because it's a challenge. You don't make every basket that you shoot. You don't win every game, you know, that kind of thing. And so when it's it requires exercise of us, that's really good for us. When it's super easy, like scrolling your phone, that's when it becomes particularly addictive. So working in the garden gives you dopamine, but it's harder to get addicted. I mean, have any of us been like addicted to gardening? You're like, I can't stop. Like, honey, come in. I can't. I'm picking green beans and I can't stop, right? That's not very likely. Okay, so that gives you dopamine. You feel satisfied and you get that sense of, you know, you enjoy working on it. But because of the physical activity, the labor involved, you're not going to be addicted. Whereas scrolling on your phone gives you an easy dopamine hit. Video games give you an easy dopamine hit, right? That's why it's so easy to get hooked. And I'm just going to be honest with you, video games, especially for young men, are particularly dangerous along these lines of getting addicted. And screens in general, but especially the endless scrolling of TikTok videos is like cocaine for the dopamine. And it's just really bad. You just very easily get hooked on that. I think that's probably literally one of the worst things you can do for your mind is the endless scrolling of videos in that kind of TikTok style. So over time, you need more of the drug or drug. It doesn't have to be a literal drug. It can be a drug. And you need more of it to get the same level of hit, right? Call it tolerance. We use that word every day, right? Hey, I was taking Tylenol every day. My body kind of developed a tolerance to it, and now it doesn't help me anymore. You know, we kind of use that terminology. So that's what happens with our brain with these things, is once your body gets used to it and you develop tolerance, you need more and more of it. And that's where we start really getting into danger. So unhealthy ways of getting dopamine, drugs, of course, right? A dope hit. Drugs are gonna make us feel that. Digital use, screens, phone scrolling, clicking on things. Just clicking on things has like a satisfaction. I did something and there's dopamine with that. Facebook like. That's why social media is so addictive, is because every time you check your phone and two more people liked your post, you get that little reward, right? It's that little, your brain putting the hot button and it's like, yeah, that feels good. Two more people, someone commented. And so then you comment back and then you're like 3 minutes later, you're like, I wonder if someone's commented back. And that's all this hooked on the dopamine piece of it. Video games, of course, some video games are more prone to that than others, you know, obviously. But shopping gives you dopamine, especially online shopping. Again, you're clicking, you're putting things in your cart. There's kind of that rush with it, that feel of excitement. I think this is a good little hack. It's a superficial thing, but I think it's worth thinking about. If you are kind of feeling that rush and I want to buy stuff, or if you realize you're buying too much online, what you do is just put it in your cart and come back the next day. And by that time your brain's calmed down. You're like, I don't think I need that. And then 2 days later, you're like, okay, I definitely don't need that. I was this close to buying it, but I just got caught up in you know, Amazon said it was 5% off, and I didn't want to miss that 5% sale, you know. So online shopping, right? It's essentially, look for activities that you have trouble disengaging from, right? You can't put your phone down. You can't stop working on fill in the blank. I can't stop doing whatever. And it doesn't necessarily mean there is that kind of reward system overdrive going on, but that may be what is going on. So that's just the world we live in, right? 100 years ago, what kind of drugs did the average American have easy access to? Maybe just alcohol, whereas now there's easy access to all kinds of drugs, and in our pocket, our screens, on our pocket, we can be shopping, things like that. So one very, very unhealthy way to get a dopamine response is pornography. So there's a sense in which the rest of today's lesson is connected with the brain chemistry of pornography. So this is from Covenant Eyes. It says, our brains were designed for the occasional spurt of dopamine to fuel our motivation, right? You finish your math homework. Yeah, feels good. Finish my math. And then I work on my English. Oh, yeah, finish my chapter in English. Feels good. Like, that's what our brains are designed for. With pornography, we're given a fire hose of dopamine. Consequently, especially with the advent of smartphones in 2007, pornography addiction has become rampant. And so part of what's so addictive with pornography is what it does to your brain in the fire hose of that experience of getting way more dopamine than your brain was designed. Believe it or not, pornography, I believe that digital pornography, like on your phone, delivers a more potent dopamine punch than cocaine. So it's not as high of an initial spike. The initial spike is not as high as cocaine, but it's more sustained for longer. And so, whereas that drug hit is more of an up and down, the pornography dopamine goes very high and then is sustained. And so it's more potent punch. Pornography then warps our brains like hard drugs do. You know, you say, remember this is your brain on drugs? Okay. Actually, most of you guys probably, do you guys remember that? This is your brain, this is your brain on drugs. Younger guys, Josh, you have no idea. It's okay. We say, oh, this, I don't want to hurt my brain with drugs. Well, guess what? The pornography does the same thing. It warps our brains. So, no surprise, dopamine, with other God-given brain chemicals, it really hurts our brains with pornography. We damage and poison our brains when we enslave ourselves to pornography. Brain scans show the porn addict has a shrunk brain like an alcoholic. And we'll talk about the shrinking side of things in a minute. So we're going to talk about the stages of pornography enslavement. And what's helpful about this is, number one, it's not just about pornography. It's going to be true for other drugs. But also, I just think God's word equips us to deal with each of these four stages. That no matter kind of how far down in this pit you are, that there's just some helpful things that we can do. So there's sensitization of the drug, desensitization of everything else. Your brain shrinks the good voices, and then the whole roller coaster sinks. So the kind of the mnemonic device, try to remember that, is sensitization, desensitization, shrinks, and sinks. So that'd be really good if between now and Sunday, those four words are in your head of memorizing those four things. So sensitization, desensitization, shrinks, and sinks. So we're going to go through all that. What's that?
Say if you just brought chocolate, we would have had it.
You mean like getting addicted to the chocolate?
While we read it.
Oh.
While we're eating chocolate while we read it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you want to bring chocolate on Sunday, oh, look at that. You know, you're welcome to. Okay, so I was actually going to ask any. I've gone through a lot so far, last few minutes. By the way, all this information for your homework is basically on this homework sheet. Not all of it, but a summary of the four stages. And at the bottom, it's what can God's word equip us with to help us in each of those four stages. So that's what the homework is going to be. So that's over here by Peyton. So any comments or questions on this so far? Okay, so sensitization, this one kind of just makes sense, right? You become sensitized to the drug or the drug, right? The thing you got the hit from. You become hypersensitized to the source of those pleasure chemicals. And that just kind of makes sense. Okay, so if you imagine that you are, you know, doing a high potent drug like cocaine, and it's after school and you're with your buddies at the bus stop, and that's where you get your drugs. But what does your brain start associating with that, getting those drugs? It's the people you're with, the time of day, those things. Your brain says, oh, it's after school. Oh, I'm going to the bus stop. And your brain's already zooming in because it wants that again, right? It has that want chemical through the roof. And so you become hypersensitized to the source of those. The images are seared on the brain. So you become very sensitive to those things, very sensitive to the experience as a whole. You start to crave the thing that gave you such a high, right? So just like you want to go back to the drugs, the pornography is doing the same thing. And so you start associating the associated things. And your brain is just going to do this. It's very good at this. So where you were, right? Oh, I was here when I got those drugs. And so you're driving by that corner again. You're like, oh, and your brain goes right to that thing. The time of day, your computer or phone, right? So you start associating that pleasure with your phone or that computer, that part of the house. Your mental state, right? So when I'm depressed, then I looked at pornography. Well, guess what? Next time you're depressed, your brain's gonna go, hey, remember what we did last time we felt this way? So your brain is sensitized to making those connections. The problems you were trying to avoid, right? So every time I think about my upcoming work review, then I get this drug hit. Well, then the next time you're trying to avoid thinking about that, your brain goes, oh yeah, we're still avoiding that thing. And so it reminds you and is making you think about that thing. So all those associated things. So sensitization just kind of makes sense. Your brain wants it, and it starts linking all the associated things with it. Any questions, comments or questions on that? Okay, so then desensitization is that everything else gets desensitized. So that our brain doesn't overload, what your brain does, because you just got this fire hose of the dopamine, it starts dialing down dopamine reception all over the brain. It starts dialing down the other receptors, and so it actually reduces your stimulation overall, because you just got a ton, and so your brain starts going, whoa, that was a lot, and starts like blocking those things. Because you've overfed the brain, it literally makes everything less pleasurable. So that's what's crazy, is we get addicted to these things to give us pleasure, but then what your brain has started to do is to dial down your pleasure because it can't handle it. So now everything in your life becomes less pleasurable. So let me give a couple kind of everyday examples of this. How do you respond to loud noises? How many of you have been to a concert where it's really loud, and when you're leaving, you're talking to people like, what? Like, you can't hear as well, because what your brain and your ears actually did was, because it was so loud for so long, it tones everything down. Now, how long does it take? 20 minutes being normal for it to kind of readjust. But that's what your brain is doing. Just like the loud noise, it has to turn down the volume. Well, what your brain is doing is turning down the volume on those pleasure receptors. And so literally, the other things in your life start being less pleasurable. So when I did this presentation in Philadelphia back in April, I had one of the young men come up, and I started kind of talking him through, kind of in front of everyone, talking through. I said, hey, what's one of your favorite foods? And he mentioned something, I don't remember, pizza or just whatever. And I said, do you want to get addicted to something that makes all that food less pleasurable? And he said, no, pretty obvious, I said, what do you enjoy doing? Playing soccer or whatever. And I said, do you want to get addicted to something that makes playing soccer less enjoyable? No. Well, that's what's happening, is that your brain starts dialing down and other things become, you become desensitized to all those things. We start caring less about the other things that should give us a sense of reward, right? So I should feel a level of satisfaction with playing soccer and the enjoyment, but when I start getting carried off into a drug or a drug, then it's just not as rewarding, not as satisfying. So here's a doctor, we have some quotes from Dr. Dindinger, food, friends, family, work, school achievements, social activities and dating are major sources of pleasure and stimulation. These important activities drive us to form healthy relationships and learn social skills. The loss of receptor sites during desensitization, so he's talking about this stage of addiction. The loss of receptor sites during desensitization changes how a person experiences normal sources of pleasure. These important healthy survival resources become weak or less enjoyable. We then need higher sources of dopamine, such as pornography, to help us feel normal levels of pleasure. See how your brain's kind of turning down those dials. So you need higher sources of it to feel normal levels of pleasure. Over time, individuals addicted to porn spend less time with family, friends, intimate partners, and seeking achievements because you just don't care about doing well at your job anymore, things like that. Sources that used to bring pleasure are no longer sufficient and are replaced by pornography. So that's the desensitization stage, where your brain is turning things down because you've been giving it too much. The other common sense example of this, that what we saw in New York, was you're a New Yorker, you make a lot of money, and one of the things that New Yorkers love to do is eating out. Well, if you eat out and get amazing food every meal, it stops being amazing. I mean, believe it or not, it's like every meal I can have, you know, you open up Grubhub and 600 restaurants will deliver to your door. You know, it's unbelievable. So the whole thing just dials down. So as much as you think you want amazing food every day, actually having the bologna sandwich or whatever ramps up the other food, so the other food tastes better. It's kind of God's design with all those things. So this is helpful to see. You can think about the concert where your ears are turned down. You can think about the good food where that gets turned down. But that's what's happening in a lot of different ways at this next level of addiction. Okay, comments or questions on that? Okay, third stage is shrinks, and that's where your brain is shrinking. Your brain shrinks the good voices. So to maintain the drug, because your body says, I keep needing that, I want that, I need to keep going back to that. Your brain starts with sensitization and desensitization, becomes hypersensitized to the thing, and become desensitized to everything else, right? But after a while, your brain is affected in more drastic ways, more dramatic ways, because it's trying to achieve a more permanent dopamine pipeline. It's like, what do I need to do to keep getting the drug or the drug? And so to do that, it literally starts shrinking the parts of your brain that are that your brain is using to tell you no. So this is called hypofrontality, where the frontal part of your brain starts shrinking, hypo, it's less, because your brain starts shrinking itself so that the no parts of your brain, you can shut it up easier. You're like you over there who keeps telling me not to do this. You know, silence him, shut him up. And you start silencing the parts of your brain. So you got these no, the sense of no in your brain that God gives us, right? So a little kid might say, I'd love to color on the walls with crayons, but last time I did that, I got in big trouble, right? So he picks up the crayon again and goes, wait a second, I got in trouble last time. And your brain goes, no, don't color on the walls again, you got in trouble. Okay, you go, okay, I won't do that. And that no part of your brain is good and strong, right? You think, a teenager says, it'd be fun to skip school, but I want to get good grades, so I'll buckle down and do my homework. Right, you're about to skip school or not do your homework, and your brain says, no, go back and do your homework. Like, that, there's more important things. So we need that no voice at a good volume in our heads. Well, what happens is that your brain starts to shrink the good voices. So here in this picture, the orbital frontal cortex and the anterior cingulate, and then it's those green arrows mean telling you no. Those are the parts of your brain that say, not a good idea, not a good idea. That hurt you last time. You got fired by doing that, whatever. Well, what your brain starts to do is shrink those to where, you see the red X's? It's like canceling out those no voices. So you're literally hurting yourself because your brain says, I want to keep getting this. And shut up, that guy who keeps telling me no. And that's what your brain starts doing. So the brain shrinks the good voices. Sadly, as the enslavement increases, our brains have shrunk the parts of the brain we need to make good and righteous decisions. Not a good place to be, right? That's not good. Covenant Eyes again. Cambridge researcher Dr. Valerie Voon found that the brains of porn addicts look a lot like the brains of drug addicts, both displaying similar damage to the frontal lobe. Remember, hypofrontality. Damage to the frontal lobe. That means the more porn you watch, the harder it is to make rational decisions regarding porn. Can you still make rational decisions? Yes. Are you going to need extra help? Yes. Are you going to need accountability? Yes. Are you going to think as clearly? No. So, you know, that's what's going on there. And so that's why it becomes such a dangerous thing. Many who reach this stage, back to Robert Dindinger, many who reach this stage find that they are seeking and engaging in pornography even when they really do not want to. Individuals who are trying to quit viewing and engaging in pornography often feel like they're an autopilot. When these areas of the brain are shut down, other damaging activities occur. For example, people at this stage tend to make more risky decisions, right? You start downloading illegal things and engage in increasingly risky behaviors. Some move from pornography into sexual deviant and or illegal behavior. Morals begin to change, all of that. Because you're hurting yourself. You're hurting your brain that God gave you to say no to those things. Okay, so that is the shrinks. That's number three. Yeah, Jen.
Is this a permanent kind of damage, or can our brains heal from this kind of thing?
It can be reversed. Yeah, it can be reversed and go back. It's a painful process, but yeah, you can. And you may still feel an above average temptation to that, whether it's to alcohol, cocaine, pornography, but you can then reboot those things over time, making better and better choices. That's just the neuroplasticity. God just made our brains to be able to keep changing and growing. So yeah, it doesn't have to be permanent. In fact, thankfully, it can be grown, improved. Is there another hand? Okay, and then the fourth is sinks. And I'm trying to offer a mnemonic where it's easy to remember, but I want to make sure that I explain it right so that the concept is actually understood. So the roller coaster sinks is the idea. And what we mean by the roller coaster sinks is that high and normal. That whole thing starts sinking to where the highs are getting less and less high, and the normal actually gets lower and lower. So eventually the pornography does less and less to make us feel good, and it serves more and more to keep you from just feeling bad. So you start going to it not because you're even enjoying it, but because without it you feel so awful and low. You're just doing it to kind of get back up to normal. You think the drug is going to keep giving you a high, but after a while, it's just trying to keep you from always feeling so bad. I don't know if people don't understand. You know, drug addicts are obviously making foolish choices, but that's because they feel bad all the time, and they're just trying to not feel bad, right? So your body starts making you feel terrible until you get your fix. We're going to see a quote in a minute. But so your body, it's saying, you need to keep getting this. You need to keep getting this hit, and so I'm going to make you feel anxious or miserable or whatever until you get that. So it's like it's sounding an alarm. You need to go back to your drug. It's your body's like pushing you into doing that. Just like hunger is supposed to push you to go eat food, it's like pushing you to go back to that thing. So when I say the roller coaster sinks, it's the idea of, well, high and then a low, and then the highs don't get as high, and the lows just kind of keep getting lower and lower. That's the idea of this roller coaster up and down of the drug high. It's not even as high as it used to be, and that idea. So does that make sense? The point is not that your life starts sinking, that may happen. I feel like last quarter maybe that was people's understanding what I was trying to get at. My point is not so much that your life starts sinking, it's that the highs and lows of the drug or the drug, that whole roller coaster is kind of going downhill.
Jay,
yes?
I've heard it said that the first hit that you get from a drug or whatever is the highest you'll ever feel, and your brain is always trying to get that high, and it never can achieve it.
Yes.
But yeah, you keep going back to it, trying to get that
highest
high. Yes,
that's right, yeah. And with the kind of power of drugs today, well, you start upping the dosages, you start trying to get more and more, and you're pretty quickly in the territory of harming yourself, is the overdosing, yeah. So that's really the scary part of that. Okay, this is back to Covenant Eyes. The dopamine deficit means they no longer experience pleasure from the drug of choice, but they must consume it just to feel normal. For many, watching pornography serves only to numb the pain they experience on a daily basis. As one commenter on our blog said, porn might feel like our little safe space, but that's a lie. It's a little self-isolating hell. You know, so it's not a source of pleasure. It's actually becoming more and more isolating, more and more miserable, right? Back to Dr. Robert Dindinger. Another brain change is the alteration of the body's normal stress responses. So this is talking about how your body makes you stress out to make you go back to it. Prolonged exposure to pornography hijack the body's stress responses to promote pornography-seeking and engaging behavior. When the body senses that triggers related to pornography aren't being acted on, like, well, but I can't act on that, I'm at work or whatever. Well, the body starts releasing stress hormones. Not fun, not a good place to be. In order to end the stress response, the individual engages in pornography-seeking behavior. This is analogous to the seatbelt alarms that are now in most cars, right? So you're driving, it starts beeping at you. You're like, I don't want to put on my seatbelt. And it keeps beeping, Okay, I'll put on my seatbelt, right? Because it's just so annoying. What's that idea? The alarm keeps ringing in an attempt to promote enough discomfort for you to decide to put your seatbelt on. For pornography addicts, the stress and discomfort felt from the altered stress system makes avoiding pornography very difficult. Can it be done? Yes. But again, your body's fighting against you. This sounds like Galatians 5, the flesh versus the spirit. Your body's fighting against you to make you go back to that. So it becomes very difficult. You're literally fighting against those released stress hormones there. So those are the four stages there. We become sensitized to it. That's all I can think about. The associated things are kind of exciting too, because that's the place I got, or that's the mood, or that's what I was doing. Other things become less pleasurable as your brain turns down the volume. You start to shrink the brain parts that are telling you no, because your brain doesn't want to hear no. And then the whole roller coaster of highs and lows starts sinking. So the homework for class is, and if you didn't pick it up, just pick it up here, is it summarizes that. So you'll have this in front of you, a summary of those four points. And the idea is, what would wisdom from God's word say, how to counter each of these four steps to help a person who's addicted to pornography or something else? So think about sensitization. Think about, okay, so my brain is just excited about that, and all the associated things with it. You know, it was at the bus stop, it was after school, it was when I was avoiding this particular task. All those things have now become associated with it. What would God's word say, or what wisdom could you offer someone who is feeling highly sensitized to wanting to go back to that? Number two, they're desensitized. Other things just aren't fun anymore. I don't even enjoy those things. What would you say to them? How could you encourage them? Shrinking. You can just tell that they like a leaf. It just doesn't take much of a breeze to blow them over, right? Because the no parts of their brain are not strong anymore. How can you help someone where the no parts of their brain aren't helping them? And then number four, when they're just miserable in that downward roller coaster, what could you say to help them? What would God's word say to help them? So I want you to just think through that. I think it's powerful to see that God's word and God's people, the church, can help us kind of no matter where we're at. There's just helpful things we can do for each other and good things we can be do. So that's what the homework is going to be, is to think through that. Any comments or questions with what the homework for Sunday is? Josh, when you're rafting?
Rafting.
When you're rafting down the Grand Canyon, this is what I want you to be working on, is filling out this worksheet in the Class 5 rapids. Okay, so that is the idea. So what I'm going to do is email out this video. You can find it yourself. It's on YouTube. It's called Nuggets. How many of you guys have seen Nuggets? Oh, you guys are so cool, right? You guys know what's going on. Okay. So I'll send this out, or you can just Google or YouTube Nuggets cartoon drugs or addiction, and it'll come up. You're looking for this cute little fellow right there. He's a little kiwi bird who experiences addiction. So
you know, what I'll do is I'll send that out. And then kind of a sub part of the homework is going to be trying to identify the four stages of addiction we talked about, as you see kind of demonstrated in that little video. It's a great video. I think you'll enjoy it. And just very useful, I think, to help. And then if you want to keep, because it's emotional, and then you want to keep being emotional, start reading the comments people put underneath it about how it's changed their life, saved their life, whatever. So, okay. So we've gone, this is just a summary of all that. Okay. And this is where we go through that. Okay, so comments or questions on any of that we have covered this evening.
So how is this adrenaline associated with dopamine? Do you know?
Adrenaline may be released at the same time, depending on the activity, right? Bungee jumping will give you more of an adrenaline than like good food or good music, right? Now, I mean, sometimes Mozart gives me adrenaline, but that's not going to be for everybody, right? So adrenaline can be, and you might enjoy that. But I don't think adrenaline has the same addictive properties that the dopamine does. Now, I could be wrong with that. I'm not a neurologist.
You just hear that term, adrenaline junkies.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think some people really don't like.
Like Raph.
Like Raph in the Grand Canyon. Yeah, exactly. I think some people just don't like adrenaline, though. It's you know what I mean? It's like too overwhelming. You know what I mean? And, you know, adrenaline, kind of that fight or flight thing, can actually be miserable, you know. So it is different than dopamine, but I'm not sure how to articulate a lot of that. Yeah, that adrenaline is that like rush of energy, you know, to fight, to run, to perform, right? Things like that. Other comments or questions on this? Okay, so let's review. And I'll try to remove the words here. So what's the first stage in a word? Or which is it? What's the word for our first stage?
Sensitization.
Who can explain sensitization? Lauren.
You're becoming 5 minute sensitized warning. To what's triggering you to want the drug.
So yes, that's right.
Sensitized sensitization of the drug and what it's doing and making you feel.
Okay, so good. Keep going.
You associate certain.
Yes. Exactly. That becomes magnified. The thing itself is magnified in your brain. You're highly sensitized to it. And then the things around it become sensitized that you are like associated with it. Good. What are some things that are associated with it that could be part of becoming sensitized?
People, place,
environment.
Activity,
your mood, what you're avoiding, you know, those kinds of things. Yeah.
We often, what I'm trying to think about is smell is one of our largest relators.
As memory, yeah.
So that's kind of how I'm trying to relate this to it is smell sensitization.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, well, I'm just going to go in the bar, but I'm not going to drink. Well, you go in there and you've smelled all those things before. It's your old hangout. This is a good chance that you're going to get swept into doing things you weren't planning to do. Yeah, things like that, yeah. Yes?
They're also called triggers.
Yeah.
Like, that's the word that we use for counseling and, so. Instead of that long word.
Well, yeah. That's right. So the sensitization, good, is starting to kind of create triggers, right? And so it wasn't a trigger before. I could drive past that intersection all the time before. But now, because of the sensitization, the association of that, now that's what I think about when I drive past that place, you know, or when I'm hanging out with that friend. These are things to think about for our homework, by the way, right?
Really, our brains are like that with so many things. I mean, if you have some really traumatic thing happen to you at a certain place, and
that's
you drive
right.
by that place.
Yes.
same.
Yes, exactly. And fear is particularly good at that. You know, you drive at an intersection where you get angry, you're not as likely to go overboard with anger again in that moment. Kind of like a trigger relapse to that. But fear, that's where something bad happened. You can be right back in it with that memory. So fear is very good at making those associations, right? And you may have jogged that path for 20 years, but it takes one dangerous thing to be like, I'm not jogging that way again. You know, fear is very good at doing that. Okay, what's the second stage? Desensitization, and what does that mean?
Those things don't do it anymore.
Yeah, and what things?
Everything else,
right? Yeah, so the other activities, your brain's dialed that down, like at a concert where it's too loud, your brain goes, and it tones everything down. So, because you got the fire hose of dopamine from the drug hit, then nothing else can compare. So everything kind of gets less desirable, so you start losing motivation. I shouldn't be explaining this. I want you to explain this. So any other thing we mentioned with the desensitization? Loss of motivation, we said, to the other things that would be good to keep working on or that you used to enjoy or things like that. Yeah, Jen?
This is kind of a question. But some of those things sound like how I've heard depression described, where everything else just kind of like deadens and like you just kind of feel flat.
Yes.
Similar.
I think there's a similarity. It depends on what the source of the depression is. If the depression is a response to I've been stressed, and now it's like the collapse, well, that's almost a similar mechanism, right? Of like a high, it's not an enjoyable high, but it's like an up followed by the down. So yes, or anxiety. I've been up from the anxiety, and then the depression crashed on the other side of that. Same mechanism where it can't keep it up there, and so you kind of get on the other side of that. Nothing can. Yeah. So I do think there's a similarity there with that.
I mean, tunnel vision. Kind of an idea.
It is. Yes. Yeah, so it is creating this tunnel vision. Absolutely. And I think the sensitization is that tunnel vision piece of it, and you start having less motivation to even get out of the tunnel vision because all that other stuff is. Who cares? All right, it starts developing that. That okay, good. Third step, shrinks, and that is your brain shrinking. What part of your brain?
The no part.
Yeah, the frontal lobe, whatever. But it's the no part of your. You start shrinking the no part of your brain because you're turning down the volume on that. And the fourth one is not shrinks. It's sinks, and that's not about your life sinking. It's about the highs and lows sinking. Okay, very good. Okay, so make sure you grab the homework there and try to put some thought into what you can do to encourage people at any of those stages, what God's word would say.